So this is a Chinese song, and it's called Ni De En Dian Gou Wo Yong, which means your grace is enough. And it's been a very special song this past year. It's kind of been a challenging year for my family. And this song talks about when you encounter difficulties or you face trials, God's grace is enough to get you through. So I do have some of the words up on the back so you can kind of follow along a little bit.
Chorus.
But the chorus is really talking about how, God, your grace is enough for me to use. I can use your grace, and your strength is enough. When I feel weak, you make me strong. And because of that, I'm going to sing of your love forever. And so that's what the chorus is all about. So here.
Xing一起是在唯有你爱不敢改每个季节恩典只有满满虽然经过水和火靠着主我就敢强每个美食你与我同在 呼唤心意即是在唯有你爱不敢改每个季节恩典只有满满虽然经过水和火靠着主我就敢强每时每刻你
So, Ni De En Dian Gou Wo Yong. Yeah, so I just wanted to share that all with you.
You have another song for us? Is that why you're there at the piano still? You can, yeah. Yeah, we didn't know. I didn't know she played. Amen. And now I'm going to introduce her.
Thank you.
Good morning. Or as they would say in Taiwan, Zhao An. Zhao An. And Niman Hai Hama, how are you? But in America, typically when we greet people, we usually say, oh, how are you? In Taiwanese, or in Taiwan, they don't do that. They usually say, Ni Chi Bao Lama, meaning, have you eaten yet? You know, it's a very common thing to say, oh, hi, Ni Chi Bao Lama. Oh, Ni Chi Shema, what did you eat? Are you full? It's just their way of greeting one another. So like in America, it's very common to say, oh, hi, so nice to meet you. How are you? It's a beautiful day, but they don't do that in Taiwan because food is a very important part of the Taiwanese culture. And so if you meet someone for the first time, the first thing they want to do is give you lots of food. Here, let me give you this. I mean, we've had so many people. I have never had so many people in my life give me just random food. My roommates and myself, people just, oh, here's this food or this food. And I'm like, oh, wow, what's that? Okay, I guess it's good. It looks good. I guess it's edible so we can eat it. You never know what kind of food they're going to give you. And some of it really does look very authentic and a little exotic. But anyway, so I do live in Taiwan. Here's a picture of Taiwan. This is in the mountains, Taroko Gorge, which is kind of like the Grand Canyon of Taiwan. There are a lot of mountains there, and it is quite beautiful. And I've been there for the past 7.5 years. I never imagined that I would be in Taiwan for 7.5 years, but guess what? I am. And I actually, the funny thing about my story is I always told God, I knew I wanted to go overseas at some point in time, but of course I thought I'd go to Europe. Why not? France, Germany, Switzerland, a place in Europe, or Australia, because they speak English there. Or why not England? You know, it's a much easier to go to places where they speak English. So I told God I would go anywhere in the world but Asia, and I would study any language but Chinese. And so I learned that never tell God never, or never tell God you'll do this, but not this, because God brought me to Taiwan 7.5 years ago. And it's funny because my mom and dad, they actually used to live, oh, by the way, this is my mom and dad over here. Mom and dad, and I'm very happy that, yeah, I am very happy that they decided to come to Martinsville with me. That was very special that we can have this weekend together. But anyway, mom and dad used to live in Taiwan. They lived there with my dad's job back in 2012. And when my parents first told me they were moving to Taiwan, I was like, why? How? I was so angry. I was like, who would go to Taiwan? I didn't even know where Taiwan was. I was like, where on earth is Taiwan? And who would want to move to Taiwan? And then mom and dad, after I graduated from Regent University, which is where Liz and I met, mom said, hey, Rebecca, as a graduation gift, we would like you to come stay with us in Taiwan. And I was like, what kind of graduation gift is that? They gave me a choice. They said, Rebecca, you could either, one of us, not both of them, one of them would attend my graduation in the United States, so either mom or dad, or neither of them would come, but then they would help me pay for my ticket out to Taiwan. And I was like, I guess I can go to Taiwan. I suppose, why not? Cultural experience. I went out to visit mom and dad, and I loved it. But I didn't really think that was going to be my home because I already had a job lined up in Virginia because I told God I was going to stay in Virginia. That's what I told him. And I learned, never tell God what you want to do because God always has a different plan. Anyway, I just want to introduce you to my family. So I love the picture of us sisters. We had these pictures taken just a few weeks ago. First family picture in probably 12 years. Because with my family, we're all in different places. Military stuff, and we're just everywhere. So we finally all came together this past, I guess last month, July. And so my sisters, I have three sisters. There's four girls. And then this is my mom, dad, well, all of us together. And my brother's wife, so my sister-in-law. So that's a family photo. And I'm really excited because I get to see them. And I don't really get to see them all that often. Next slide. Ah, yes, I need to introduce you. I have to. I love cats. In Taiwan, I do have a cat. We have two cats. The one on the sitting on the blanket, that's my roommate's cat. Her name is Macy. She does look a little grumpy. She is a sweet cat, but she was traumatized as a kitten. So she tends to get a little bit more emotional and grumpy when my roommate's not around. My cat, on the other hand, is the mischievous one. And so my roommates always tease me. They say, Rebecca, Mittens is just like you. You're mischievous, and your cat, Mittens, is mischievous. And so she's like always jumping on things that she's not supposed to be jumping on. She's not supposed to be exploring the teapots and stuff up there. And she knows it, because as soon as I walked into the room, she jumped down. So I have to just share with you a little bit about our cats, just because that's what we do. Okay, next slide. And I want to introduce you to my church team. I do attend a local church. It's a Taiwanese church. Everything is done in Chinese, which has actually been one of the best ways for me to learn my Chinese, because a lot of the kids, I work with the youth group, and I'm involved with the worship ministry there. So I help out. I help the kids learn, you know, piano. And so this is my church team. And on the right, that's our Gallup team. So I'm involved with two separate ministries, and yet they still kind of connect a little bit. So I have my church, but then I'm also involved with a nonprofit organization. The nonprofit is called Gallup. As you can see, it's with an O, G-A-L-L-O-P, not to be confused with the other, another ministry called Gallup with a U. I think they have to do with like helping people discover their strengths. So this is a nonprofit organization that we started about 3 years ago. And our primary focus is to use experiential education to help young people discover their identity and purpose in life. And I have different videos that I'm going to show you throughout the next half hour or so, just to kind of give you an idea of what this involves. But experiential education, in short, involves using hands-on projects, but also questions like, what did you feel? What did you see? What did you sense when you did this particular activity? Because a lot of the Taiwanese people, they're actually not taught to think for themselves. They're taught to believe whatever anyone tells them. And so if a teacher tells you something, they just automatically think, okay, that's right, because this is what my teacher told me. And they don't even think that they should question what's being said, because the teacher told them this is the truth. And it's really scary, because they read the news, or they read or they listen to whatever the teacher says, whether it's about God or not God, and they automatically believe that that is the truth. At the same time, it's a great opportunity for me, because I'm an English teacher in Taiwan. And so if I know how to use my position wisely, I can actually have a lot of influence on these young people, because as a teacher, they respect what I have to say. You still have to be very careful, because you can't just go into schools and say, you need to accept Jesus. No, you can't do that. But you can definitely do it in a very strategic way, which is what my Gallup team is trying to do. And so basically, our whole purpose is to help young people discover their identity, because a lot of people in Taiwan, because of Taiwan's position in the world, they're actually not really recognized as a country. They're not even part of the United Nations. And because of that, a lot of people in Taiwan struggle with who they are. And so, like, even in the school system, kids are given an identification number, and that replaces their name. And so oftentimes in a lot of schools, a lot of the teachers are never actually given a list of their students' names, because they just go by numbers. Oh, hey, number 8. Oh, number 2. Number 1. And from our perspective, you're stripping that child of an identity. And so one of the first activities that we do as a Gallup organization is we help kids discover their we focus on their names, and we help them discover what is the meaning of your name. And so we do that with both their Chinese names and their English names, which, by the way, I do have a Chinese name. My Chinese name is Bi Ting An. Can you all try saying that? Bi Ting An. Bi Ting An. Oh, yes. Bi Ting An. And it basically means peaceful and beautiful. And so that's something that we really focus on with our students, is finding not only the name of the meaning of their Chinese name, but also their English name. Okay, so I'm going to pause for just a moment, and I'm going to show you all a short video. And this video just kind of introduces you a little bit to Taiwan, what Taiwan looks like, some of the fun things about Taiwan, but also some of the challenges that I have to face while living in Taiwan. And so just to give you kind of an idea of what the Taiwanese culture is like. Riverbend Church family, my name is Rebecca Brittingham, and as you can see behind me, that's Taiwan. Yes, I live in Taiwan. I've been here for the last 7.5 years. I live in Taipei City, which is the capital of Taiwan, and I love it. It's a very convenient place to live. Well, I'm very excited to give you just a small taste of what Taiwan is like, and also to share with you what kind of missions work I'm involved with. Taiwan is a small tropical island off the coast of China. From Virginia, it takes about 24 hours to get there. Taiwan is known for its mountains, oceans, food, delicious desserts, and of course, tea. Taiwan is also known for its fresh markets where you can find fruits and vegetables and chicken, where they cut the chicken right in front of you. Taking out the trash is always a memorable experience in Taiwan. I never imagined that my schedule would have to revolve around trash time, but it does. Big yellow garbage trucks come out at a certain time of the day. If you miss it, you're going to have to hold on to that smelly trash for another day or two. I also serve at a local church here in Taiwan called White Rock Church, or Bai Shi Jiao Wei. And throughout the year, we hold different outreaches that include food, music, and dancing. Volunteer with an organization called Gallup. We use experiential education to help people find their identity and purpose in life. Let's go inside and take a look. Come on. Here is Sean. She is Gallup's art teacher. Here is one of our high schoolers, Sunny. She is making lights out of recycled transparencies. Here is Stephanie. She's one of our exercise and dance teachers. At Gallup, we offer dance, exercise, and art therapy classes to seniors. We also have summer camp where kids can play music, dance, and just have fun. We also offer a baking class every month where kids can come and learn how to bake different types of goodies. Taiwan is a spiritually dark place. There's only a small number of Christians. It's common to see temples, sacrifice ceremonies, and altars in both restaurants and houses. As a matter of fact, most of these houses probably have an altar in them.
A lot of people here don't know the true God. That is why we're here doing what we're doing. We want to tell people about the love of Jesus. So we need your prayers. Taiwan needs your prayers. One prayer can make the difference in the life of a family. So thank you so much for praying for us. God bless you.
So that's just to give you a little taste of what Taiwan is like. And so basically on a regular basis, we have to take the trash out on a daily basis. We have to show up around between 5:30 and 6:30. And if you don't get there during that time, you keep the trash for another couple days or whenever they don't come on Wednesday and Sunday. So if you miss Wednesday and Sunday, or if you miss Tuesday and Saturday, then you have to keep the trash for an extra day or two. So that's some of the things that we have to we deal with. We deal with a lot of cockroaches. Cockroaches are a really big deal in Taiwan. They're everywhere. Okay, so this is a summer camp from last year. We had quite a few students that attended our summer camp, and it was actually really exciting. It involved a lot of, as you can see in the video, involved dancing, ukulele. We taught the students how to play the ukulele. It also involved English. In Taiwan, students are required to learn English. Unfortunately, the way they go about teaching English is not really actually that helpful, because they're very based upon tests. Test score, test score, test score. So a lot of the students, although they have to study English, they're afraid, deathly, deathly afraid of speaking English. As a matter of fact, the first 6 years I was in Taiwan, I was involved with a multimedia organization called Studio Classroom, where I had opportunities to travel around Taiwan, and we used to put on these big rallies. Basically, they're like these English rallies, and we'd have between 500 and 1,000 students come to these rallies. And the purpose of them was to encourage the speaking of English, encouraging the students to speak English. So we played different games with the kids, and countless times we would get some of the students up on stage or maybe even in the audience, and maybe they would say their English incorrectly. The entire group would laugh at that one kid. And that is the norm. I've gone into schools on many occasions, and the kids are afraid. They're afraid of speaking because they know if they speak incorrectly, their classmates are going to laugh at them. And so one of our philosophies when we do go into schools, so here are some pictures over here where we're talking about identity. This past May, Stephanie, you saw her in the picture or in the video. We had the opportunity to go into a local school. We partnered with a local school called Bay An Junior High School. And it was supposed to be like a 6 week or 8 week course where we talked about identity. And it took a lot of effort to actually convince the principal that this was a necessary class, because it's just a very innovative idea to a lot of schools in Taiwan. And so we were teaching English, we're talking about identity, we're talking about the significance and the importance of names. And at first, the principal didn't really understand why we use the different hands-on projects that we do. Because their whole philosophy is, you need to have a lot of desk work, book work, homework. You're not giving them homework? Why aren't you giving them homework? No, the homework is just a different type of homework. The whole purpose is to help encourage them to create a safe place so they can actually speak English. So we hope to create a safe environment where they feel comfortable to make mistakes. And so the first thing I tell students is, I want you to make mistakes. Make mistakes. Because, you know, the true sign of success is not that you never make mistakes. It's when you make mistakes and you get back up and you try again. And, you know, I'm speaking to myself too, because I know I hate making mistakes. Sometimes I'm afraid of trying something because I'm afraid of making mistakes. And that's the way it was with my Chinese the first few years. I'd be like, oh, I can't speak Chinese because if I make a mistake, then maybe they'll laugh at me. Or even worse, I'll say something I don't mean to say in Chinese. Because in Chinese, the tones, if I say something, a different tone, then, and this has happened many times too, where I thought I was communicating one thing, and what they were hearing was something totally different. And it's embarrassing, because it's like, no, that's not what I meant to say. And they think that you're saying something different. So anyway, so one of our philosophies is to encourage young people to make mistakes and be okay with making mistakes. And so the need in Taiwan right now is that a lot of young people don't receive a lot of positive reinforcement. They receive an education, but not a lot of positive reinforcement about their identity and purpose. Students, for example, constantly compete with one another. A couple of summers ago, maybe two or three summers ago, I was doing a summer camp, and one of the activities I gave them seems like a really basic activity. Write down your dream. What is your dream? Most American students, they might be able to come up with something a little bit more creative than what I found these Taiwanese students writing. They wrote stuff like, I need to make a lot of money so that I make my parents happy. I need to make a lot of money so that I'm successful. I need to make a lot of money so I can allow my mom to travel around the world. Everything was about making money and being the best. And they think that if they make money, then they're the best. Or another time, I had them write down, what is your greatest fear? And stuff, they would write down stuff like, my greatest fear is not being the best. My greatest fear is not getting good enough grades. My greatest fear is disappointing my parents, disappointing my teachers. And not too long ago, I actually had a conversation with a student on the MRT, which is like equivalent to our subway system. And this poor kid, he was involved with badminton. He liked to play badminton, which is great, but it was so intense that he told me that there are times he just cries because he just can't handle the pressure his parents put on him to be the very, very best. And this is not an isolated situation. This is across the board in Taiwan. And I work with several students, do one-on-one teaching with them, and they tell me the same thing. The intensity, the pressure is so much that a lot of them, they don't have any life. They leave their house around 7 in the morning and get home 11 o'clock at night, 11:30 at night, wake up the next morning at 5:36 and leave the house at 7, and that's the norm. And if you choose not to go that route and you choose to go to like a vocational school, you're considered a nobody. You're never going to amount to anything. And actually, that's what they tell the students. You're never going to do anything with your life because you go to a vocational school. Wow. You are nobody. And it's really, really sad because that's what the students believe, because that's what their parents tell them, and that's what their teachers tell them. And so at my church, a lot of the kids that I work with are the kids that don't have the best scores. So they're the ones who are going to the vocational schools. And it's really sad because, and exciting. It's exciting because I get to work with them, but it's sad because they have spent so much time believing that they can't do anything with their lives because their grades aren't good enough. Our baking class. So every month we do a baking class. And why is this important? And why is this significant? Because a lot of the homes in Taiwan actually don't have kitchens. If you don't have a kitchen, you don't have an oven. Or maybe you have a small little kitchenette, but you have no oven. Okay? And so when we offer these baking classes, kids get really, really excited because they have an opportunity to learn a new skill. Now, while we cannot directly tell people about Jesus at the baking classes, we do different things. It's like a pre-evangelistic thing we do. For example, in the picture over here, if you see, they're buns. We made hot cross buns. On the hot cross buns, I don't know if you're familiar with them, but you do put a cross on the hot cross buns. And so this is just a small little thing that we add to our baking classes. So then we talk about it. Why is there a cross? We make them right around Easter. Like this was around March or April time frame. And then we tell them, what does the cross represent? Why do we add a cross? And so even though we're not saying you need to accept Jesus, we're planting seeds. And it's a great way to, I guess, plant seeds in kids' lives. But not just the kids. Parents too. Because oftentimes the parents will stay. And in Taiwan, they're very relational people. If they see, if you build trust with them and they see that you have something to offer, they're a lot more open to what you have to say than if you just try to throw Jesus at them and say, you need Jesus. They will not be interested in that at all. But if you offer something like baking and then you start building a relationship, then they start asking questions. Why are you in Taiwan? I'm in Taiwan because this is where God told me to come. Who's God? How long have you been here? Oh, 7.5 years. Whoa, 7.5 years. Why have you been here for so long? And all of a sudden, you have an open door to share about
why you're in Taiwan and the purpose of being in Taiwan. Okay, so this is life at Gallup. So our Gallup office, we do have an office. And as you can see, there are some pictures of me. And I'm going to explain those pictures. So, of course, living on the mission field isn't always, you know, this exciting summer camps and all that kind of stuff. We do have a lot of cleaning and organizing and stuff to do at our office. And so we have a lot of leaks. And so one of our jobs, or one of my jobs, since I'm the tall person, that's what they say. Rebecca, you're tall, so you have to clean the top up there. We had this a leak on the top, and it was like all this gross stuff was leaking down on the tile. And so I had to go through and wash it all off because, yes, I'm the tall person. We also had a problem with mice. This was very frustrating because they were getting into everything. You know, you leave little packets of milk tea or coffee or whatever, and the mice will get them. And so I decided to do some research. Oh, yes, and they would always get the garbage. And so as you can see, we put, like, these little traps around the garbage because we thought, well, maybe the mice will be attracted to the garbage and fall into the sticky stuff. Guess what? That did not happen. As a matter of fact, the sticky things, that was such a mess. They ended up getting sticky stuff everywhere but on the mice. It was, like, very frustrating. So I decided to do some research to see how we can fill the holes. And so that's what I'm doing now. I basically went around the entire office. And again, I'm the tall person. So that was my job. I had to fill all the little mouse holes. But guess what? After I filled the mouse holes, we no longer had a problem with mice. So as of right now, the mice are gone. So this is a little bit of life at Gallup, what it's like on a daily basis. It has an outreach to seniors. It has an outreach to young people. And I know you saw us making lights from recycled transparencies. And the whole purpose of that was we had all these transparencies. And we're like, what do we do with them? I guess we could just throw them away. But then we're like, why not make lights for them and then hang them up? Because we want Gallup to sort of be a cozy place for people to feel like they're at home, where it's comfortable for them. And the same thing with, you saw us making a photo gallery. So basically we took a bunch of pictures from all the classes that we taught to the seniors, and we created a gallery, a photo gallery. So when they come, they feel like, wow, this is where I belong. This actually makes me feel good. Everyone likes looking at pictures of themselves. That's just, you know, the way it is. And so that was one of the projects I worked on because of COVID. COVID came back in May and shut everything down. Because Taiwan was actually doing a pretty good job keeping COVID out until this past May when everything shut down. And so rather than kind of just sitting there wasting our time, we couldn't teach classes. So we thought, why not start making these lights from the recycled transparencies, and why not put together a photo gallery? And so during our free time, that's what we would do. And it's really cool because I think September next month, everything is starting to open up again. And we know that the elderly people and the kids and stuff are going to be really excited to be able to come and see. And so Gallup is not only a place to teach classes. It's a place where young people can feel comfortable coming. But another thing I've dealt with, I've actually had a conversation with someone, because something else that's really big there is palm reading. Palm reading, and people just think that that is the thing. It's a real thing, right? Which I do believe. It is a real thing, but I also believe it's a demonic thing, as we all believe. Well, I had a conversation with this gentleman one time about palm reading, and he was telling me how it was a real thing and how he really believed in it, and I was like, well, tell me about it. Why? And he said, well, you know, one time my son was really sick. And I said, okay. And he said, so I went to a palm reader, and I wanted to find out if my son was going to die or if he was going to live. Well, the palm reader told me my son was going to live. And I was like, oh, really? And then what happened? And he said, well, the palm reader told me that I had to go to the airport and welcome in all of my ancestors from China, because I have all these ancestors in China that are stuck in China, and they want to come to Taiwan. So I have to go to the airport, and I have to walk around and invite their spirits into Taiwan, and then my son will live. And I said, so what did you do? And he said, well, I did that. I went to the airport, and I walked around with this sign, with their names on the sign, just calling them and asking them to come. And I was like, okay. And he said he did that for hours. And then when he went home, He has an altar at his house. He opened up the door to the altar and just ushered all the spirits into the altar. The next day, his son was completely healed. Now, I have no doubt that his son was completely healed. I also have no doubt that he ushered in these spirits. But I also know that it's all demonic. But you know, when you see that and you experience that, I can understand why they would want to believe in what they believe, because they see things happening. But then as Christians, it makes our job a lot more difficult. Because, it makes it easier and more difficult. Easier in the sense that they're already familiar with spirits. More difficult in the sense that you're coming against what they think is already true, because they've experienced and they've seen things that they think is true. And of course, trying to tell them, oh, no, that's not true. You have to be a lot more strategic than just saying what you believe is not true. And so that's something that as a church team in Taiwan and as Gallup, we're working together to be more strategic in trying to tell people about Jesus. Anyway, behind me, you see a homemade studio. So something else Gallup is going in the direction of doing this past summer, actually just a couple of weeks ago, we put together a virtual summer camp because the actual summer camp was canceled. So we put together a virtual summer camp and we filmed little skits. So something that we're actually wanting to do this upcoming year is start putting together short 2 to 3 minute skits that talk about English, but then we use English as a way to tell people about Jesus. And unfortunately, we're just beginning. And so we don't have our own studio or anything. So we created our own studio where we could film a few little skits. Keep in mind, this is for English learners, so it's going to be nice and slow. But just to give you a little bit of an idea of some of the other things, some of our vision for this upcoming year that hopefully encourage the students to practice their English, and ultimately we want to use English to share the gospel. And so just in short, I guess the next slide. Yes. Okay, so this is just some of the things that we did at our summer camp. We made little lamps called Light Up Our Home. And then we also did a thumbprint art. And the purpose of the thumbprint art was to remind students that everyone has a different thumbprint. And in the same way they have a different thumbprint, every student is unique in their own way. Next slide. And we just, as a reminder, God gave you a fingerprint that no one else has, so you can leave an imprint that no one else can. And that is one of our philosophies or our goals through Gallup, is to remind everybody that they're all completely unique and different. And the last thing that I want to close with as far as what we do with Gallup is just to let you all know that one of the things that we come against, I guess one of the challenges that we come against in Taiwan, one of the many challenges, is that a lot of the local people feel like they're inferior. And so a lot of them actually don't feel like they can ever do anything, they can never measure up, don't feel like, they see someone like myself, Caucasian foreigner, and they think, oh, well, you're better than me just because you're white. So you actually get that kind of mind, there's that mindset in Taiwan. And so that's something that we're actually trying to fight against, that, you know, when I see Taiwanese people, I see, you know, you guys are just as important as me. Your nose is just as nice as my nose. Because I have people telling me, oh, your eyes are so beautiful because they're blue. Your nose is so beautiful because it's a Caucasian nose. Oh, your hair is so beautiful. And I tell them, you know something? You're equally as beautiful because this is the way you were made and created to be. And so it really is a great opportunity for me to be able to tell them, hey, you know, when I was little, guess what? I thought my eyes were too big. And you think your eyes are too small. You know, I used to think that I was too tall. And you think you're too short. It just, no matter where you are, you're always going to look and want to be different. And so it's a great opportunity to be able to speak life and truth into these students. And so I actually have a few questions for you all to consider as we're kind of wrapping up and closing. As the first question I have for you is, like, who do people say you are? Like in Taiwan, I know what people tell the students. They're told, oh, you're nobody. You're not good. You're stupid. I've heard some friends tell their friends, you're ugly. You're stupid. You're not smart. You can't take a picture with Rebecca because you're too ugly to take a picture with Rebecca. And I've had to tell them and say, no. You are just as important as this person, and you're just as beautiful, and we're taking a picture together. So I hear that all the time from friend to friend, students to students. The second question I have for you to consider is, who do you think you are? And I mean, these are questions that I've been working through too. It's like, who do people say I am, or who do I think I am? And then the last question I have for you to consider is, but who does God say that you are? And so maybe you say, oh, I'm weak. But God says, no, 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 you're strong. And the verse I want to share with you is Psalm 18:32 that says, God arms me with strength and he makes my way perfect. Maybe you say, oh, I'm broken. But God says, oh, no, I make you whole. And Colossians 2:10 says, so you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. And maybe you think, well, I've been rejected. I've struggled with that feeling of rejection before. But God says, we are his. And Isaiah 43:1 says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you. You are mine. And last, it says, maybe you think you have no purpose. A lot of students in Taiwan feel like their life has no purpose. But God says, I was created with purpose. And we all know the story of Esther. Esther 4:14 says, perhaps this is the moment for which you've been created for such a time as this. And so my message to you all today, my message to the people in Taiwan, it all has to do with identity. And it's actually perfect because for years I struggled with my identity. I struggled with feeling, who am I? What is my purpose? I thought that I had to earn, you know, I was what I did. But I'm not. We are not who we are based upon what we do. We are who we are based upon what God tells us, who he tells us we are. And it's amazing because now I'm in Taiwan telling people the very thing that God's been trying to work in my heart for years and years and years, and telling me, Rebecca, you have purpose not because of all these amazing things you do, but just because of who you are. And that's something I really want to leave you all with today, is that we all struggle with identity at times. We struggle with feelings of rejection. We struggle with feeling like, oh, we're hope, you know, feeling hopeless or not doing enough. I'm just doing this. I'm not in Taiwan doing this, this, and this. I'm just in a small little Martinsville, Virginia. But guess what? If God, that's where God has you, that's exactly what you should be doing. And that's the message I want to leave you all with today, is that God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for me. And it's amazing how we can work together and encourage each other in all that we're doing. So thank you so much for allowing me to share a little bit about what I do in Taiwan. And I actually want to pray. I really would like to pray. And I'm going to pray a little bit of English and Chinese. So, 亲爱的天父, dear Heavenly Father, 我们爱你, we love you, we love you, we love you. 我们爱你因为你先爱我们, we love you because you first loved us. 充满我们的心, fill our hearts. 充满我们的心, 充满我们的心, fill our hearts, Father. 用你的爱充满我们, use your love, fill us with your love, Father. 用你的喜乐充满我们的心, fill our hearts, Father, with your joy. 我们是你的, we are yours. 我们是你的, 帮助我们, help us, Father, help us, Jesus. Just remember who we are in you. 我们都是你的小孩子. We are your children. 我们是你的小孩子. And because you love us, Father, we can do anything by your power. And I thank you, Father, for this church. I thank you, Jesus, what you're doing in this church. And I thank you, Father, what you're doing in this ministry. And I pray, Father, that you would just give to them in the same way that they've given to me, Father. That you would just bless them abundantly, that you just open up doors, Father, that cannot be shut, and you close doors, Father, that cannot be open. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are the God of miracles and that you are bringing healing into people's hearts. You're bringing healing into people's lives, Father. You are the way maker, and you're making a way, Father, when there is no other way. And we thank you, Jesus, and I thank you, Father, for Taiwan, and I thank you, Jesus, that you have given this church a heart and a desire to hear about what you're doing in Taiwan. And the Taiwanese people are forever grateful. I know, Jesus, they are very blessed by this. And in your name we pray, amen. So thank you all so much.
无欢心意即是在，唯有你爱不更改，每个季节安点只有慢慢。虽然经过水和火，靠着主我就敢强，每个美事你与我同在。